Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Howdy, what's happening today? How are you? What's going on? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Let's do it as we set up inside of our Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, where we hang out every day. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. All right, let's address the little elephant in the room here.
Mm-hmm.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah, man.
All right.
I got my requisite, I don't know, pink.
Of course you do. I mean, it's usually red, but okay.
It's pink.
You're about a month and a half early for Easter.
Well, Easter is like paisleys and like greens and yellows. Valentine's is, you know, red and pink.
Let me tell you something about Valentine's Day. I have no problem with Valentine's Day. I don't. But I feel for people who aren't in the position that you and I are in. Mm-hmm. We're married. Yes. We're set. We're established, right?
Agreed.
All you have to do is do something kind. We're going to dinner. We are taking the kids, and we're going to do a family thing. And
my night is full tonight, so I took Tracy to lunch. So I know what you mean.
Yeah. Hopefully the kids go down early. Daddy can hang up. We'll hang out a little bit with Mommy. But you know, what I think it gets awkward, which is hard, as you know.
Of course. You got two kids, dude, that are under five.
Yeah, and we just actually keep that to myself. The It was funny. It's nothing bad. But Valentine's Day is unnecessarily awkward for people. Think about this. If you're dating somebody for like 3, 4, 5 months, you're not all the way in. Mm-hmm. You know, you like them, but you might have another boyfriend or another girlfriend or ending a previous relationship.
You're like dating. You're dating. You're doing different things.
A little batting practice. Yeah. Kind of get back in rhythm here.
This is one. This is 1A or 2. You know what
Do
I mean?
Do the old juggling act. Still trying to decide which way you're going to go long term. And, you know, like, it presents this burden of stress. Like, what does that person or those people in those situations, what do they actually get their significant other, their boyfriend, their girlfriend, whatever it is? Like, what do you get them?
I don't know.
If you go too heavy, you might frighten the other person. Like, this guy's a little bit too quick here.
If you just get
relax.
A card, you're like, what the hell? That's all you.
This guy's cheap.
That's all you think about me?
Yeah.
I know.
If you do something over the top, it could be this guy's corny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just so many ways to stub your toe and really ruin relationships instead of reinforce them, which is what Valentine's Day is supposed to be all about.
And it's not a holiday that you can just ignore. You can't just say,
no, you can't do that.
I'm not going to do anything because I don't want to be wrong.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Well, here's the irony to me. Like, if you're an atheist pertaining to religion, if you have no religious beliefs, you're an atheist, the origins of Valentine's Day are obviously rooted in sainthood.
Yeah.
St. Valentine.
Yes.
So if you're an atheist and you celebrate Valentine's Day in some way, aren't you kind of not an atheist?
Yeah, kind of.
I'm just wondering.
Could be an excuse.
It could be an excuse. So hopefully, and then, by the way, the kids are all hopped up on sugar. That's the other element. You know, there's candy everywhere. Of course, you're going to suck them down as an adult.
And
you eat everything that's in front of you.
Every school has a party. Tracy had a big cookie.
Jen had this box of like 21 bags of like elaborate detailed concoctions. It took her 3 hours.
Yeah, by the way, the babysitter picked up the kids today. Tracy went to the gym.
Oh, good. I mean, that's the way it should be. And then the other thing, even you see this with Easter, you know, one thing for Christmas, Hanukkah, you get gifts. Now, like, there's like this weird expectation. I was talking to Margaret about this, our makeup artist. There's like this weird, not expectation, but almost guilt if you don't give the kids gifts on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Here's a piece of chocolate. It's what we got.
Our kids got gifts.
That's not ours.
Yeah. It's like a big gift, too.
No, I know.
Bucket full of drawing stuff. And
books,
crayons,
Star Wars, superhero, Elsa, Anna, the whole spiel. All right, so anyway, how about this story? Let's get to this, all right? Let's get to the story. Adam Silver.
Yeah, this is a gift.
This is a little gift here on a relatively slow day, but I do think there's a couple of interesting conversations you and I will craft, and this is certainly one of them. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says he hasn't given, quote, any thought to inquiries by NFL owners about his willingness to switch leagues and become commissioner of the NFL. What?
Yeah.
That's
out of nowhere.
Wow.
It feels out of nowhere.
But when you think about a lot of the problems of the NFL,
yep.
it's easy to connect the dots and deduce that it really isn't out of nowhere.
Yeah, you're not. Look,
so
there's one commissioner that has been lauded and propped up and applauded for everything that he's done since he took over, and that's Adam Silver.
Pretty much.
There's not much that he's done wrong. League revenues have exploded, almost doubled since he's been there.
$4.8 billion to $9.1 billion, to your point.
Almost yep. $9 billion. The owners are extraordinarily thrilled. Let's not forget how it started with the
with the
Los Angeles Clippers
yeah.
Situation with Donald Sterling, and how that could have been a serious black eye on the league for
or
a
him
long
if he didn't handle it well.
Or him, definitely him, but on the league, if that was I mean, it was like, all right, here's what we're doing. Boom, let's go.
Got to be honest with you, though, and I know you got a few things lined up. If I inherit a role like that, right, kind of put myself in Adam Silver's shoes, who was obviously a great apprentice of David Stern.
Yep.
And you almost wish that something that easy, that is a beach ball that's lofted at you.
It was.
As you begin your commissionership. Oh, let me see. The old white racist guy in an all- Not all. Yep. 80% African-American league. I'm going to sacrifice. Number one, it's the right thing to do.
Of course it
but
was.
But symbolically, it just creates this great synergy for everybody involved in the league.
It also creates a precedent where that is unacceptable.
Right? 100%.
Those type of things will not be tolerated in the NBA. So he hit it out of the park. And everything he's done since has been hitting it out of the park. The players are making small fortunes to be in the league. The owners are happy. They're making a ton of money.
I think their valuations have increased 267% since
crazy.
He came in.
Think,
267%.
Think about that.
That's ridiculous.
And they just signed an extension. Now, the idea that he would be commissioner of the National Football League it's a pipe dream. I mean, it's
why though?
Because he's signed through 2023.
Okay.
There's no way that he wants to leave the NBA, which he's a big fan of. But it sets up an interesting conversation about what the NFL owners actually feel about Roger Goodell. Because on the other side of this, Roger Goodell has actually been a really good commissioner for the NFL. He's handled some things wrong, and they stick, right? They stick in social media. They stick in mainstream media. But monetarily and, as far as running a business – he's done a phenomenal job. I mean, the NFL's revenues have jumped up over the last couple of years, and he just signed a 5-year extension a couple of years ago.
Could have handled the Raiders situation better than he has so far. I think he's really tripped over that a few times.
I'm just from the positive side. There's columns, right? The positive column, right? You got how many new stadiums are going in?
Yeah.
That's new league revenues, right? What's the interest after that 1 year of dipping last year, whether it was the presidential election?
Talking about the ratings overall.
The ratings overall, or the Colin Kaepernick
bad Thursday night games. There was just some bad football.
He went through a little bit of a rough spot.
Yes.
But he pulled through it. And by the way, the revenues went up that year, right?
Did he pull through it, or did Patrick Mahomes and others
this
help
year.
Pull?
This
I know, I know.
I'm talking about last year.
No, I understand. But the continuation,
I agree,
if it continued, it would have looked really bad.
Agreed.
This year was great.
But I'm still on last year.
Go ahead.
The revenues went up last year.
Oh, they always go up.
Of course they do.
Yeah, I mean, I could be the commissioner. I'll make money.
Easily could have went the other way. Even if it was just a tick down, it would have been a bad sign. The league revenues from a business standpoint went up. He piggybacked on that with the fortunate new injection of stars into the league. The Pat Mahomes of the world, the Jared Goffs, and that great offense out there with Todd Gurley, a great defense with Aaron Donald, Coach of the Year, with Sean McVay, and so everything felt new and continued from what he was doing last year with Commissioner Goodell. But there, when you look at the bad column, I think there are things that may be terminal that other NFL owner or the NFL owners are concerned about. How he's handled the domestic violence issues in the National Football League and the persistent, feeling that every time something happens, it's the first time that it's happened. It's never handled correctly. It feels like every issue that comes up, they're sitting and waiting and reacting as opposed to being proactive. And Adam Silver obviously feels the complete other way. Whether it's real or not doesn't matter. It's perception more than anything. But I feel the NFL owners clearly have a thought about what to do next, especially with the collective bargaining agreement coming up for renegotiation in just 2 years. That's right around the corner.
I can tell you one thing that I know would have been very different. Just let's go to fairy tale land, fantasy land for a moment, and imagine that Adam Silver was actually the NFL commissioner. Now, you and I are both in Atlanta.
Yeah.
The day that he did his State of the NFL press conference, I know you were in the hotel getting ready for our show. Yep. I was doing the same thing. I was watching on the tube, just ordered breakfast, whatever. I guarantee you that there wouldn't have been, you know, 7 or 8 minutes of empty rhetoric where everybody in the audience that's asking questions and those of us who are watching that would ask the same questions that are being asked but dodged, there would have been a more fulfilling response. Number one, in the timeliness of the response, would have been far swifter. Mm-hmm. It would have happened right away. I mean, I can't prove this, but I believe this to be true. And I believe that the way Adam Silver, or quite frankly, maybe even any commissioner, really. I mean, you could take Val Ackerman from the Big East. You could take Manfred from Major League Baseball, Bettman from the NHL. It doesn't matter who it is. I think they would have placated is the wrong word, because when you try to play to people, you can almost damage your mm-hmm. product. But there is an element of placation that was necessary then that he just woefully missed.
Yes.
And I think Silver, like others, would have crushed it.
Yeah, look.
That was a layup.
Look, half of the
pass. Just give the fans what they want. Give them a pound of flesh.
And if you're talking, and even talking about the New Orleans situation, just address it.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yes, I agree.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
I
100% the way that
agree.
Whole went down. Instead of there's 3 weeks of conjecture and speculation, questions, like, just a heaviness that eventually dissipated. We got into the game, and obviously the game wasn't great. There wasn't a lot of offense and all that. So a great season wasn't punctuated with a great game, obviously, Super Bowl 53. But I'm with you. I think the owners are looking around saying, all right, let's start kicking the tires, see what's out there. They're not feeling them anymore.
No, you're
they're
right.
not.
And they're paying them a ton of money.
Yep.
And now it's justified because they're also making a ton of money. But the question is, by 2021 – are we looking at a new commissioner in the National Football League? And I don't know. Maybe Roger Goodell says, I'm done. I've been doing this for a long time. I've made a ton of money, because he has made a ton of money. And, you know, let someone else handle this, which is going to be an arduous, by the way, negotiation.
Oh.
This one feels like it's going to be serious. There's
Dig
so
in.
Many issues, whether it's, you know, the marijuana suspensions or
guaranteed deals,
guaranteed contracts, the revenue sharing model that's tilted in favor of the owners, like all of those
things. The four preseason games, maybe an 18th game.
There's a lot.
There's a lot going on. Uh-huh.
And is Roger Goodell the right person to handle it, especially because there's so much mistrust between players and the union and Roger Goodell and the league? It's going to be really interesting in whether or not he's the right guy. And if he's not the right guy, where do you go?
Well, that's what I want to get into coming up next here. A question for you. Have the owners turned on Goodell? And could they change commissioners before the next CBA? I mean, just think of that. 1-855-212-4227. And I'll do something coming up next here on Tiki and Tierney that I don't know that I've done more than once or twice in our 6 years together pertaining to Roger Goodell. It's coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Do you have frequent heartburn? Like the kind of heartburn where you stash antacids everywhere. You feel like you gotta have those chalky tablets for whenever heartburn might strike. If that's you, you know that there's an easier way to deal with heartburn, correct? Prilosec OTC. Just one pill a day will last a full 24 hours with zero heartburn. With Prilosec OTC, you can actually just not get heartburn in the first place. No more stashing antacids. Try Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money, switch to GEICO. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 on this Thursday across the country. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up next. And let's see, on the old menu, combine criteria. That's an interesting one. Things got a little heated, a little tight, a little tough between the Blazers and the Warriors last night. Get into something on Draymond Green, a little something on Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki, and a little something on the Brewers placing limitations and basically the ability for people to buy tickets.
Interesting.
That like was, did you see that story?
Sounds like a stupid business model.
I don't. It doesn't seem like a profitable one. No. Yes. Come watch us play, but we're going to limit you from where you could actually come and watch. So we'll get to that coming up. That does on the surface. There is there's obviously some minutiae in there, but on the surface, that sounds like the dumbest thing that I've ever said. I mean, think about that.
I agree.
And I've said some dumb things, but at least pertaining to somebody else, yeah. They are literally saying, we don't want your money.
That's
great
not
business job.
Smart.
Great. What a model. All right. I'm going to defend somewhat, you know, tepidly here, the commissioner of the NFL.
Go ahead.
Roger Goodell. All right. And I'm going to do so with facts. Mm-hmm. No need to really throw any energy. You know, this is not, me digging deep to come. This is just numbers, and you can't argue numbers. You ready?
Okay.
The NFL's got 32 teams.
Yep.
Got 53 players on the roster.
Yep.
On Sundays, you have 5 practice players per taxi squad for each team. Equates to about 1,700 players.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
That's a lot.
That's a lot. The NBA has 30 teams. You have 15 players on a roster.
Yeah.
That equates to about 500 players in the entire NBA, which is obviously roughly 1,200 players fewer than the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So the mathematical element of it should tell you right away that exponentially Roger Goodell's job is more difficult.
Yes. Many more players to deal with, many more issues to deal with per player
mm-hmm.
and per team. And the turnover is so much quicker.
That's another, you know what I mean? Did not factor that in. That is absolutely true.
I'm trying to, are those 1,500 or, what did you say, 1,700?
1,700 players roughly in the NBA.
1,700 players in the NFL, you mean?
I mean, pardon me, in the NFL.
1,700 players.
There's 1,700 players on the Knicks this year
as they
go through the roster.
Exactly. But how many of those turn over every year? I mean, it's got to be at least 600.
Whatever it is, the percentage has to be significantly higher than the NBA.
Agreed.
Guaranteed deals alone. I mean, that's plus there's less physical attrition in terms of season or career-ending injuries. Now, if you're hearing this, you might say, well, all right, that's fair. The numbers point to a tougher job for Goodell day-to-day just based on the numbers of it. But it's not that Goodell is framed as a commissioner who is commissioner during a lawless period.
No.
It's that he has severely butchered and botched the big cases, that many of them, that come across his desk.
Agreed.
So it's a different point of contention, but I do want to point out the numbers. You know, Adam Silver, nobody has an easy job at that level, but just look at the numbers. It's easier to look after, quote unquote.
Yes.
500 players compared to 1,700.
You're right.
Period.
It's easier, and it's also easier monetarily in a sense because it's cleaner, right?
What do you mean?
So you're not worried about the strife that comes from contract negotiations. Now it's not fully in Roger Goodell's purview, but it does fall on Roger Goodell because the NFL doesn't have guaranteed contracts. In the NFL, in basketball, if you sign a contract, I mean, that's your contract.
Oh, yeah.
It is what it is.
And John Wall is going to be a wizard for a while because he's going to be making $44.5 million the next couple of years once that kicks in.
And look, guys may be disgruntled with where they are.
Yep.
Right? I want to go play somewhere else, Anthony Davis, and win a championship. But they're not disgruntled with the amount of money they're making.
No.
In the NFL, I mean, 90% of the guys, probably a little less than that, maybe 80% of the guys are disgruntled with the amount of money they're making. If you're not a quarterback or, you know, one of these high-priced, you know, top-end wide receivers or offensive linemen, you're like, I'm not making enough money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And,
100%.
And whose fault is it? You know, I could get hurt tomorrow.
Yeah.
This is the whole Le'Veon Bell conversation. I get hurt in week 10, and all of that future money that looks good on paper is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so half of the league, at least, probably more in the NFL, is disgruntled. I'd say 90% of the NBA, other than playing time issues, they're pretty content. You know what I mean?
That's interesting. And to further illuminate the financial disparity between both sports, think about Aaron Donald. I mean, Aaron, we're going through training camp saying, Rams, when are you going to get this contract done? He's the best defensive football. He's the best defensive player in football.
Two-time defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
Back to back.
So think about it in this term. You've got, I guess you could make an argument for anything, but he is still somewhat subjective.
Yeah, agreed.
Let's just say he's the best defensive player in football.
Yes.
Not just because he has the award.
I would say he is, though.
I would, too. Yeah. I would as well.
Very disruptive from where he is, and it forces he forces you as an offensive line to play different than you usually have to play.
No question. But so you have that asset, and then you have Le'Veon Bell, who's one of the five. This came out this before Saquon proved his worth early as a rookie with the Giants. One of the five, six best offensive players in the game.
I would agree.
Excluding quarterbacks, these two guys had to fight for money.
I know.
One was holding out of camp, basically. Right. The other never showed up.
You're right.
And that would never happen in the NBA.
Of course. In the NBA, it's like, how much you want? You know what I mean? You going to stay here and make, you know, Uber, like, five generation max? Are you going to go somewhere else and make just a little bit less than that? But still, like, three,
still good to go.
Three generation max.
Now, do you think, though, directly, if you can quantify this somehow, do you think, because I don't know if I know the answer, do you think that that acrimony that exists in the NFL, does that trickle up the mountain to Goodell?
Oh, yeah.
How does he actually feel that, though? Like, how does that affect his job day-to-day in terms of players maybe getting in trouble or perception? Or,
well, here's,
you know what I mean?
I don't know if it does.
That's why I ask, because I'm not so sure it does either.
I don't think it does, BT, but when players don't look at, like, their team owner, like Giants players don't look at John Mara or John Tisch or Steve Tisch and say, you know, you're the reason that I'm not getting a guaranteed contract. They don't look at the owner.
So it's not personal against the team. You don't think Le'Veon Bell got personal with the Steelers?
Even though it is. Le'Veon Bell is one of the few.
Okay.
Instead, they look towards the commissioner. Right? Yeah. We have a bad deal because of you. It's not the truth. They have a bad deal because the union, you know, wasn't good with the deal back when they did the
cracked.
What was that, 2014 or 2015?
They cracked.
Exactly. Right?
They did a terrible job. They got destroyed.
They did a terrible job and didn't pay attention
to
the little thing.
Yep.
And it's coming back to bite these guys now down the line. And so they should look more at the owners. They don't. They look instead at the commissioner. And it's why there's so much acrimony between NFL players and the commissioner of the NFL.
You know, and the other thing about Adam Silver that would probably make him very appealing is that he's been very, very forward, you know, very progressive, very much a forward thinker in terms of whether it's the legalized sports betting, the advertisements on jerseys. I know some of the NFL teams do that for practice, obviously. True. I know the Jets do that. Do the Giants do that? Do the Giants have stuff on their jerseys?
I haven't seen it practice in a while.
I feel like they do. I feel like last year or two, they
added to
that.
Yeah, I think they did, because I did a game last year. I think they do have them.
I know the Jets definitely
do.
A lot of teams do at this point.
You don't really see them.
No, you don't, because nobody's allowed to practice.
Yeah, you're right.
You don't put the wall, you can't see anything.
It's true.
But one thing that Silver has done, and I'm sure that this on some level has ingratiated him to, you know, whatever owners have reached out, if this story is accurate, they see a guy who's tapping into different revenue streams, who also doesn't have any flare-ups.
No.
Granted, very different business dynamic, easier to manage if you're Silver.
Yeah.
But I could see why Adam Silver would be very appealing. But I don't think, this is just a guess, knowing how he grew up and how he was raised, I'll put quotes around that, by David Stern, he loves the NBA.
Yeah, of course.
I would be stunned if even if he's out of his contract and Goodell's out of his and it's serendipitous timing.
I just see no way.
I never see him leaving the NBA unless he goes to a Fortune 500 company.
Here's the other thing, BT. What percentage of NBA players do you think smoke weed?
What percentage of players do I think smoke weed?
NBA.
I would say... Now, describe smoke. On the off-season at a party, you're sitting around the fire pit, you need to take a couple of puffs?
That and more.
75, 80?
I would agree. How many NFL players do you think do it? I think it's significantly less.
I do, too.
I think it's
why?
20.
Why?
Because, guys, when was the last time? Now, next question.
I think it's much more than 20%. There's no way it's that low. Come on.
I don't know. You get caught.
I understand. But it's a dummy test. We know that. Just know when to smoke.
When was the last time you heard an NBA guy getting clipped, suspended, punitively?
So rare.
In the NBA.
It's so rare. I can't even remember.
I can't either.
There's always a hand. Well, Joakim Noah got popped for knows what.
I don't know.
It certainly didn't help him play better. I don't know. If he was taking PEDs, he's got the wrong dealer, for sure.
You're right.
Although I do know that, I think he's been pretty open. He doesn't mind a little ganj. No, but I don't think he got pinched for the ganj.
I think he
got pinched for the PED.
I didn't either.
Whereas, so your point is that
my point is, in
the NBA.
NFL, in the NFL, these guys who I think get a much fewer guys do this, get penalized significantly harsher for something that feels recreational.
Oh, I'm not going to disagree with that.
And feels.
True statement.
But here's the thing. It's costing them their entire seasons.
Yeah.
Right? It's costing them their entire paychecks.
Yeah.
They can't even be around the facility.
That's true.
Right? They got to go home and live off their own dime.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so it's just, it's not play. Commissioner Goodell has not been player friendly for things that shouldn't matter as much as they matter. And because in the NBA, there's probably a bigger, if it was a problem, I don't think it's a problem, by the way, and there's probably a bigger problem with marijuana than in the NFL, yet you never hear about it in the NBA. Never.
No.
Never.
How many guys were popped last year? Three?
In the
two.
NBA?
Two?
Yeah, last year, Nerlens Noel and Thabo Sefolosha got five games each.
Five games.
5 games out of 82. Now, exactly. Think about the percentage
that's
if you get popped in the NFL.
Less than 1%.
When you get that four-game suspension, that equates to 25%. What is 5 games of 82?
0.6%.
I don't even know what it is.
What?
If you get suspended, 0.6. Yeah, it's less than 1%.
Less than 1%.
It's right there. It's not commensurate with, at least equal to the other league.
Right.
It might be commensurate in their eyes with the penalty for the violation. So if you want to smoke weed, go to the NBA.
6%.
The NFL.
It's 0.6 or 6.
Let me see.
6%. I carried the decimal point the wrong place.
All right, 6%. Still, in the NFL, it's 25.
6%. Yeah, 6%. What are we? Why would we say less than 1%? That made no sense. 6% versus 25. So if you're a young athlete and you like smoking weed and you can run and jump and you're smart and you love and you're a great athlete, more money, mm-hmm. guaranteed contracts, you can play much longer and get high. You got groupies waiting in every city. Like, you guys don't have that because you go in Saturday night, you lock down in the hotel, and you get up and you play.
And it's 8 nights, not 42, or more like 52.
I obviously say that with a smile, just messing around. Do the right thing off the court. But, it doesn't seem equitable with where society is at right now. The NFL is clearly lagging behind.
And it's not all on Commissioner Goodell.
No, I know it's not.
But it feels like we put it on Commissioner Goodell.
Well, he's the face of the league, right? Right. Outside of players, The NBA had LeBron's the face.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the face of the NFL? It's still, you could say maybe it's Brady, maybe Mahomes is emerging, but don't you feel like it's still Roger Goodell?
Yeah.
Like he just resonates.
It is because Brady never was in the position to be Peyton. It was Peyton Manning for a long time.
Yes.
Commercials.
Yeah, it definitely was Peyton.
Success,
that's true. It was Peyton.
Everything.
Yeah.
But then when he left, nobody picked up the mantle and became the commercial icon that Peyton Manning kind of still is.
That's true. That's true. All right, good discussion. You want to hit us up, get us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. All right, we've got Inbounds, Out of Bounds coming up after that. Mike's got a good menu. I told you what it was before, but we'll run through that coming up next. And then after that, I can't wait for this discussion. Top of the next hour, as Dirk and D-Wade exchange jerseys, two great players, two great guys too. They said goodbye last night, D-Wade's final trip to Dallas here. I think we're really overlooking, or at least minimizing the impact Dirk has had on the NBA. We'll get into that coming up after Rack. Here's Rich. Trevor Hoffman. All righty, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 on this Valentine's Day. Oh, Tiki dressed up for the occasion. How
I dressed up for the occasion for lunch with my wife.
You just love showing off the pecs, dude.
I won't see her.
I know, you're so vain.
Yeah,
you just like showing off the pecs, nice tight sweater. Look at this guy.
But
you haven't been lifting, so how are you staying pretty? I know you're doing push-ups and everything.
Push-ups.
Because you can't go to the gym with Broadway every night.
You're
doing your planks
zero
and everything.
I haven't run. Last time I ran was at the Super Bowl.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Do you miss it?
I ran this morning. I really miss it. But I just don't have time.
How did you feel when you ran today?
Pretty good. It was slow because I haven't run in 2 weeks.
Sure.
But
what did you bang, about 5 miles?
I did 7.
Okay.
But I have a marathon coming up in April.
I'm going to
get out there.
I'm going to
get like mile 10 and be like shot.
Oh, man.
I've run it so long, but it's all good.
There you go. One more marathon than I have on the count. All right, you ready to a little inbounds and out of bounds, Tiki?
Yep, let's do it.
Here we go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tiki.
All right, let's do it. Louisiana Tech senior defensive end Jalen Ferguson led the NC2A in sacks a year ago, almost 18. And he's had almost 30 in his first 3 years with the Bulldogs. However, he was disinvited from the NFL Combine because of a simple battery charge stemming from a 2015 fight when he was 18 years of age. Now, even though he's had no other incidents in college, he's still not allowed to come. Yesterday, his agent, Peter Schaefer, put the NFL on blast, saying, quote, As opposed to penalizing and vilifying the future players of the NFL, we would hope the league would allow them, dot, 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 the opportunity to prove they are remorseful and they've learned from their mistakes, end quote. Pretty powerful quote there.
Yeah.
The NFL passed a rule back in 2016, you may recall, that any player with a felony or misdemeanor conviction for a violent crime will be barred from the combine. Here you go. The NFL's rule barring players convicted of violent crimes is in or out.
I'm going to say inbounds here, BT, because there's deeper issues with other guys. Not in this one. This one feels unfair for Jalen Ferguson, and he's not going to get a chance to showcase himself against a very heavy defensive end or rush end linebackers class. Nick Bosa, et cetera, Cleveland Farrell from Clemson are ones that come to mind. And so it sucks from that point. But in some regards, the combine can be overrated. You get lost in the shuffle sometimes. And he still has his private workouts. More importantly, BT, he's got hella tape. Dude looks great on tape.
Look at you.
I'm just telling you. Looks great on tape. So,
remember the first time I heard somebody say hella?
Hella.
It was like early 2000s. I was living in Nevada. I'm like, what?
Yeah, what's that?
What does that mean?
Hella.
Is that like an IPA? I'll take two. What is that? What does that even mean?
I don't even know.
I'm going to invoke the common sense clause here. Mm. All right? And in terms of a broad parameter, a broad guideline, I'm totally with you here. Yes, this is unfair to the young man.
Very.
He got into a fight with another guy. Not this was not anything domestic related. This was not a woman. This was not any sort of sexual indiscretion. This was getting into a fight with another guy, which is something every one of us on this planet has done at some point in their life, maybe with the exception of you.
Yeah, but
you and Rondé.
The only difference is that the law got involved.
I understand that. But that's why common sense has to rule the day a little bit.
And that's just unlucky because sometimes...
That's true. Most times, cops don't come.
Or the guy just doesn't press charges.
Or the guy doesn't press charges.
We got into a fight. Yeah. I lost or I won, whatever. Yeah. It is what it is. We'll be fine.
Was there a gun? Was there brass knuckles? Was there a blade? The answer is no, 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 to my knowledge. And if that's the case, if it was a weaponless, conventional fight, this is really unfair to the kid. Come on. Well, open up. Wake up, NFL.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. Things got a little heated last night. Speaking of little chipper encounters here. Fourth quarter, Portland and the Blazers took on the Warriors. Not Portland and the Blazers. Portland as the Blazers took on the Warriors. Now, Klay Thompson, Zach Collins was spunky last night. He was getting to it with everybody. Got into a war of words in each other's grill, Klay and Zach, that is. Then cooler heads prevailed, which is good, until Draymond asserted himself into the equation. There's Draymond Green.
That's what he's supposed to do.
I hear you. Collins went up for a shot in the paint, and he fouled him hard. All right, they reviewed this, of course, because it's 2019, and you have to review everything. The referees determined that the foul was a flagrant one. Steve Kerr lost his mind. He slammed his clipboard on the scorer's desk and berated the officials before getting tossed.
I was head-scratching that could be called a flagrant foul. I mean, the guy's going to go in for a dunk. You got to make sure he doesn't dunk it. So I told Kenny that I begged to differ.
The clipboard spike.
I forgot about that part. There might have been a couple of other words in there, too.
Yeah, he gets a little fiery when he gets lit up, but that's good for the Warriors. Got to keep things energetic. After the game, Draymond said he knew it was coming.
How shocked were you on that late flagrant call?
That's all. Whatever.
Got a lot of ball.
I don't know.
It's the Draymond rule.
Steve seemed to be surprised they even looked at it. I mean,
I knew they would look at it because they always look at like fouls with me. But whatever.
Ah, the Draymond rule. All right, in or out, players who have a history of flagrant and technical fouls should be judged more harshly by officials.
Inbounds, BT. Oh. It is what it is, man. You know Draymond's going to foul you hard. But when you get up near the head, as he did in this particular foul.
The head?
It was close.
The head?
It was close. Now, here's the thing.
I don't know about the head.
Zach Collins just kind of like went to the foul free throw line like, all right, whatever, I get fouled. It wasn't anything big to Zach Collins.
No,
I mean, the confrontation with Klay was, but the foul against, because he was just like, all right, whatever, I'm going to take two shots.
Yeah, he was very selective in his response. Oh, Klay, okay. Draymond, I'm sorry, sir, pardon me.
Exactly.
Just
let me get out of the way.
Here, sir.
But inbounds, man. Look, and Draymond, we knew what was happening here. The Warriors played horrendous in the fourth period. Horrendous. They got outscored 35-12.
And that way, and by the way, Cantor did not play for Portland last night.
I know.
They got Ennis coming pretty soon.
Right.
It's a good pickup.
So I think this was about intent more than it was about the ferocity of the foul.
Okay.
So I'm going to say in.
Okay. It is time for an appearance, but a couple days. Mr. Literal Man swoops onto the scene. Here's Mr. Literal Man. I'm going to read the question again for you. Players who have a history of flagrant and technical fouls should be judged, that's the key word, more harshly by officials. The answer is out of bounds, and I'll tell you why. Should they be watched more closely? Yes. Should they be judged differently?
Yeah.
No.
After a foul.
No. This is where Mr. Literal needs to flap his wings and spread his cape a little bit here. Yeah, you have one uniform set of rules. You do.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm watching, go for it.
Don't superstars get the benefit of travels and fouls going to the hoop?
Yeah, but even scrubs do in the modern NBA. I mean, listen.
Just a devil's advocate over here. BT.
Yeah, no, listen, we know about the star treatment, guys. Although that's actually not necessarily proven out. Although I hear you. It's been a theory since MJ going back before that, I'm sure.
I mean, James Harden. Like four-step step backs every week.
I know. I think in the NBA, you get rewarded for aggression and execution.
I agree.
So if you're a tactician, generally, you'll get the whistle, generally, if you don't shy away from contact, if you're not soft. Listen, first of all, and when I first saw this, I'm like, that is not dirty at all. All right, he went up by the left bicep, and he hip-checked him. Zach wants no part of Draymond.
Like, right back to the
go to the free throw line, young man. Keep walking. Unless you're a third-tip black belt, keep walking.
Exactly.
But what I did hear, you know, guys who played the game, all right, and I was watching Jalen Rose a little bit this morning talking about this, and Jalen really brought up an interesting part of it, like, And I didn't really think this. He's like, when you go with the hip first, you're not really making a play for the ball.
Yeah.
And Jalen positioned to that. If that were to happen in the schoolyard, that's kind of now we throw the hands up and we start going.
Of course. And so, he didn't jump. It's like he was jumping to block the ball.
Exactly.
He was making hard contact.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It was not. Please, that is nothing. I mean, that's like going to confession.
Yeah.
In the 1980s.
Zach Collins knew it was coming too.
Yeah.
And that's why he didn't go flying like out of the screen or down to the ground. I mean, he knew it was
coming.
He's
a tough little wiry, strong kid.
But he knew it was coming.
Yeah, but again, I'm going to answer this out of bounds because I don't think anybody should be judged differently. I think that they should be monitored more closely. If you're refereeing and you know that Rodman's on the court, you got to watch him in the paint because he's dirty. And you know that I'm not saying Draymond's dirty, but there are dirty players, and Draymond has a reputation. In terms of being a little loose, actually he does. Yeah, when you kick somebody, you know, below the belt, yeah, that is filthy, absolutely. As he did to Steven Adams and LeBron. So, you know where I stand on this. I disagree. I say out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, last night, Dwayne Wade made his last stop in Dallas against longtime rival Dirk Nowitzki.
I can't wait for you to answer this.
This is a good one. This is actually a great one. Hey, there's a lot of numbers here, so listen to the numbers, although we have a little sound first. And the two future Hall of Famers swapped jerseys after the game.
One of my best jersey swaps of this year. Somebody that, you know, obviously I've grown to have so much respect for. So I'm just thankful, you know, that he didn't turn me down and say no.
I'll cherish that jersey, obviously, knowing the great competition we've had for such a long time. Like I say, he's a great, great player, one of the greatest guards we've had in our league.
Okay, so that was Dirk. And, of course, Wade. As we all remember, Wade's Heat took out the Mavericks back in 06, and then Mavericks were just about 6 minutes away from taking that big 3-0 lead before Wade led the charge. So he got loose, and he changed the tone. Dirk got his revenge 5 years later in 2011, surprising the LeBron-Wade-Bosch Big Three for the title. Now, Wade has three titles. He's got a Finals MVP, 13 All-Star appearances, two All-NBA first teams, and a PER of almost 24. Dirk also has a Finals MVP. He's played in one more All-Star game. He has two more All-NBA first teams selections on his resume. And his PER is not quite up 1 point below Dwayne Wade. They're almost identical, all right? And he also has the all-important 2007 league MVP. In or out, Dirk is the better all-time player between he and Wade.
You know,
fascinating question.
It is a good question, but I look to what we always talk about with Dirk. He was one of the original big men that stretched the floor because he could knock down the three-pointer, right? So I'm going to say out of bounds here. I think Dwayne Wade was so much more valuable to his teams, even pre-LeBron and Chris Bosh when he won a championship with Shaq. And Dirk, for his career, BT, he's only making one three-pointer a game. He takes three and a half three-pointers per game he makes. He's making one. That's his career stat. I was shocked by that.
I would be much. I was looking forward.
I originally said inbound.
But he loves that little 10-footer off the
yeah,
left. Foot,
I mean, he's a mid-range guy, right? He'll get you the run out to the 3-point line because you know he'll take it and knock it down.
And he gets to the free throw line 9-10
right.
times.
I'm going to say out of bounds. I think Dwayne Wade, who played in the post, he was athletic as hell.
Okay.
Before he was banged up.
Yep.
Say out of bounds.
How many times does Dwayne Wade lead a team to the NBA championship where he's the lead guy? The answer is none.
Once.
Well, he had Shaq.
Yeah, I mean.
And he had LeBron.
But he was still the lead guy.
I know, but he still had Shaq.
Yeah, true.
Dirk pretty much didn't have anybody. I think the answer is Dirk Nowitzki.
Oh, yeah, Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd played so many teams before that.
Yeah.
Jason Kidd started with the Suns. He was with the Nets. I mean, Jason Kidd was a little deep in the script.
Yeah, but so was Shaq. Right?
Shaq was still pretty good in 2006. Shaq was still okay. It's close.
It is.
It's very close.
Even the stats are like almost
Here's
identical.
The other thing. Dirk was less injury prone, more reliable.
That's a good point.
He played more.
I can't combat that one.
Hour two coming up.
Napa Know How. Why get 5 quarts of Castrol Edge full synthetic motor oil for $28.99? Because that's a good price for high performance oil. And nobody wants mediocre performance. I mean, when's the last time your boss said, here's a raise for being average? That's right, never. Castrol Edge full synthetic, just $28.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 2/28/19.
What if the kid who cut your grass worked like most financial advisors? Instead of a straight-up $20, you'd get some confusing bill with surcharges and add-ons. What the heck is a blade height adjustment fee? Creative planning is different. Our fiduciary advisors work off one transparent fee structure, and we never receive commissions on your investments. Dial 866-439-5641 for a free no-obligation consultation with Creative Planning. Investment strategies recommended by Creative Planning are not assured of earning a profit or avoiding a loss in declining markets.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where
to... This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.